You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, we have an historic live show that's from Mount Shasta Live, and it will include my main guest, Andrew Bartzis, galactic historian, Julian Wells, Chris Hales in Australia, Larry Bazell from Creating 5D Organization. This is a show that has just been thrown together just for tonight. When I heard from Julian Wells that there was a person named Andrew Bartzis, I immediately recognized something that was very important, and I wanted to find out more. So I was empowered to go to Mount Shasta and spend time at a conference with Andrew, and he did healings, readings, and during that time, he wanted to record our galactic history because he is able to read the Akashic records directly in no time, and we'll be talking about this. So we did 20 half-hour shows to kind of kick it off, videos, and those will be coming out soon. So, in the meantime, let's get all these people out here, and I'll start with Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Actually, he's dropped off.
He's dropped off. Well, we've got Julian Wells.
I'm
Julian.
Oh, yeah. Andrew's with us. Okay. Are you there, Andrew?
I'm on Larry's phone. Yep, Larry will be here in a little bit.
Okay.
So welcome, everyone. We are live on air now?
Yes. Yes, so, and we're with you and me, Lance.
All right, and Julian and Chris Hales. Outstanding.
And
outstanding.
Right,
we got
right.
Everyone together. So Lance, why don't you tell us about what happened in Mount Shasta for you, the interviews, because Chris has experienced what it's like to interview me.
Well, I felt like I had come home. We did 20 half-hour interviews to start documenting the galactic history because Andrew has wanted to, he's done many shows on his own radio shows, and we'll mention the websites at the end, but he has never gotten the full story down, the galactic history, which he pulls directly from the Akashic Records. So by the time we got to the first, by the time we got to about the third show, I felt like I was flying. They are so mind-blowing and so authentic and so disturbing and so liberating and so incredible that people are going to, their wigs are going to fall off, eyeballs are going to fall out of their heads, and their tongues will hit the ground. This is going to be a revolution and an evolution. And during that time, we were able to talk about the ascension timelines, what's going on with the ascension, what's going on with the incarnational process, why it feels like we're all stuck here, why it feels like there's never been a graduating class, and much, much more. The Egyptians, we covered everything possible, and it created a beautiful, sparkling template for people to start putting their information and aligning or not aligning to the galactic history. And they're utterly breathtaking, and the shows, each half-hour show felt like it went, some of them felt like they went for about 1 minute, and then we were being told to go to break.
That's what it was, kind of, Chris, was that like, what was it like for you?
Well, hi Lance, it's Chris here, lovely to meet you.
Oh, hi Chris, I absolutely love your shows, and I just have been dying to meet you.
I didn't realize that because Julian told me that Lance White was interviewing Andrew. I was thinking, I know that name. Do I know that name? Turns out you are the Zany Mystic, and I've listened to quite a few of your shows before too.
Oh, thank you.
And really enjoyed them. So yeah, great to meet you.
But look, your interviews with Andrew are just sparkling. My hat's off to you.
Yeah, can I use the term drinking from a fire hose?
Yes, you may. Yeah. I have been doing it.
Yes, it's a cross between. It's like being out in really good surf and drinking from a fire hose while you're doing it. It's a great ride.
Yes. Yeah,
you got to surf that crest of the way, because if you can't keep up with him, you know, you'll get lost.
Oh my God, I was really, you know, that was my main concern, was that I would be completely lost, you know, and that I wouldn't be able to keep up with him. But miraculously, he is able to create a field in which you are able to be with him. And I was making a special effort to, you know, do everything in my power after interviewing so many people to stay with in the now with him in this information and ask the questions that were coming through me. So I feel it was an incredible success.
Mm, excellent. I'm really, really looking forward to hearing that.
I can't wait to see them either.
You know, we've been fed so much, you know, what, for our entire
yeah.
lives by the system to have it all spelled out. Even though, I mean, it'll be how many hours in total? About 10 hours of listening. I mean, it still won't have all the details in it. It'll be a
right.
biggish brush picture, but you know, a hell of a dose of clean, clear water for everybody.
I have been waiting all my life to be able to get the truth. And I can honestly tell you that in the 6 or 7 years I've been doing this radio show, I have been getting little pieces of sand on the beach. And
yes.
and all of my guests have had wonderful information, and I love every one of them. But I've always wanted to know, well, what happened then? And then when you go back further, what happened then? And what about the Egyptians? And what about the pyramids? And what about the Galactic Wars? And what about... And as this unraveled, I found out it is an enormous, enormous cosmic drama.
yeah. As soon as you go down that path, you literally leave the planet. The story goes off planet. In fact, it began off planet. It began
yes.
off planet, and it will end off planet. And what we've been going through is actually just a well, it's probably an understatement to say it's just a little blip.
Yes, yes.
In that cosmic cycle. If you look at the, was it 52 million years, I think Andrew said that it was
yes.
roughly covering? In 52 million
yes.
years, the history that we're kind of aware of, which only goes back less than 10,000 years,
uh-huh.
is it's like, you know, a pencil stroke drawn on a very long horizontal line. That's our history. But
yeah.
it's still our history, and we still need to know it because, you know, we're in it, we've lived it. And, you know, the reincarnative cycle has brought us back into this particular line over and over and over again for all the reasons that you'll have no doubt brought out during the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all
right.
about to shift. It's all about to shift, and it's time to find out what it was we were actually doing all this time.
Absolutely.
You know, so we can experience it consciously from this point onwards instead of just being in the machine.
Absolutely. And one of the directions I had gone on my show recently was to start exposing and investigating and exploring who are the dark forces. You know, people throw around words like reptilians and archons and this and that and the other thing, and it was all clarified to the extent that one can clarify it. But I was surprised to hear that. The archons are in control of the incarnational grids, and that our Earth being has been suppressed, the Earth Mother, and so the organic process, which should have been occurring, and the ascension process has been held up for 38,000 years.
That's a long queue.
Right. So there's a big backlog. Now, I heard that when you first interviewed Andrew, you didn't know who he was. You did
no,
something
I had,
like 2 or 3 hours.
Yep, I had no idea of Andrew's existence up to that point. It was on the Walking with Energy show. And we normally get together about half an hour before the show starts just to run through what Peter and Michael want to do, and which usually works quite well. So they sort of said to me, okay, we've got a guest today, and we quite often have their students on and some others. And they said, you know, Chris, meet Andrew Bartzis. And we had a quick conversation. I had a feeling it was going to be a very interesting interview, and then whoosh.
Yeah.
Straight onto that wave, yeah. And as you say, it's a very interesting experience being in the middle of a flow like that because for me it's quite physical. I can actually feel it in my head.
Yeah, right.
And it actually, yeah, I can actually do have sort of a physical sensation of something going on there. So it is simply a matter of staying on the edge of the thought.
On that breaking
wave of the thought and actually bringing out the things that come to you first because they're usually the right ones. They're usually the most appropriate ones. Because the problem with the information, it's so vast. You could sit down and take one of Andrew's statements, say he talks for 2 minutes about an aspect, and you could actually go in 5, 6 or more directions from that information
easily
to explore the detail. And it's obviously just not possible when you're trying to put out overviews. And,
right,
you know, I'm hoping I'll have future conversations with Andrew where we do go into those details because there's a lot more in there. And, you know, that's one of the really, you know, mind-blowing things that's quite possible is to drill down to the absolute facts in that information should you desire to.
Yes, well, what it feels like to me is that what we did there was groundbreaking and historical in that it was creating the framework for all of us, yourself and all the people who are, you know, Soul Family that are helping to get this information out there, to create the framework so that people could have, as you said, the overview. Then, and also don't forget the information is layered, it's interdimensional and it's layered. So you may be listening to one of the videos or one of your shows, and there is other information layered deeper and deeper. And so you can be listening to them several times, and you'll find something else that you didn't hear before. But in any case, I'm with you. I would like to be able to get the huge cosmic picture, which, you know, we got a wonderful beginning of in Shasta, and then start drilling down into the finer details like a fractal, and then really fill it in. And I'm going to be blogging about it, and I'm sure people will be writing about this, and it will be it's an historic event, really, a spiritually historic event.
That's actually quite stupendous. It's I mean, everything about the system we've been living in is a deception. If you want to give it, you know, if you want to characterize what the system has been, it's been a deception, and that absolutely includes our history, because the social structure that we're living in is built around misinformation, a deception, a twisting of facts and events. And the only way we're ever going to untwist this entire community we've got on this planet is to correct that information so that they know what actually happened and why. Then we've got a much, much, much better chance of sorting out the mess that we're actually currently in. And look, as far as putting out this information is concerned, Julian and I had a discussion the other day about actually literally creating a Wikipedia-style website, ultimately, because it's built the wikis are built in a fashion where you can drill down to more and more data, which will simply be, you know, the repository for all this information as it comes out. I mean, it's going to be a big project. It's going to take a lot of time. Julian, have you actually put out the call for volunteers at this point?
At this stage, we're looking for transcribers. And in fact, I did get quite a few transcribers that are interested in transcribing material, especially these history parts that are coming out on YouTube. That's going to be the basis, but it's actually going to be a growing and developing element where a lot of text is not going to be directly transcribed in the Wikipedia piece, but for the most part, it's going to build and grow subject by subject in an organic matter. And Yeah, I think it might actually end up being like a highly indexed and cross-referenced PDF that will develop in versions, actually.
Well, I'd like to throw this in while you're on, Julian. I just want to thank you for posting this information on Lucas the Lightbringer's blog, which I follow regularly. Lucas is a wonderful person, and he had posted one or two of your shows. And when I listened to it, I really enjoyed the energy of it, and I felt like this was the first fresh person, you know, that was not saying, well, I know everything, but, you know, I think this is going on, and I feel this, and I sense that. I really enjoyed your show. And it was you that mentioned Andrew. So had I not clicked on that and followed my inner Ouija board, I would never have discovered him. Now, while you were up there with us, because you were there during the whole event and all the tapings, there was a moment when you had a certain experience that after watching, it was right at the end of the 20th interview, I think. Do you want to talk about that?
That was pretty intense. I mean, if people don't have a background on me, it could be a long story. But if I can cut it real short. Basically, I gained a high degree of empathy with a number of Pleiadians that I have a connection with and that I am trying to represent because they want to have contact, but I don't channel. But nevertheless, I'd gone through a particular DNA upgrade, and I was testing out how much I can handle. And they started adding more and more high empathy energy in my direction, and I was feeling them as if they were hugging me, and they felt like little puppies licking me. And the numbers, I could track the numbers. I have a subconscious program that I can bring up and read at how many were going online watching me watch a review of one of the recordings. Basically, they all wanted to see what Andrew was saying, and they were looking through my eyes and through my experience, and so I felt them through me. And it got to about, I think, 1,850 of them at the same time. If you can imagine 1,850 cute, loving puppy dogs excited and licking you, it's tremendously overwhelming but also exhilarating at the same time. So I think it actually – I passed out at that number after about 50 minutes. But you saw me. I was like writhing in ecstasy essentially.
Oh, Julian, yeah, absolutely.
Julian, you need to tell folks where those Pleiadians actually are.
Actually, yes. Those Pleiadians specifically are above the planet. They're not too far out of orbit of the planet. They're the ones that I'm in contact and become friends with are part of a monitoring group of Pleiadians that watch information and record information and share that amongst other galactic societies that are part of the mission of liberating Earth.
And the most interesting thing about it, this just always makes me laugh, Julian. Julian kind of established a contract to become almost like a reality TV show. And they have a camera. They have a camera, some sort of etheric camera technology that literally follows him around, and his life is broadcast to this part of the Pleiadian collective.
Yep, they're getting this right now live.
You know what's funny is that guys, when we were doing the interviews, I felt that there were millions and billions of universal beings tuning in, because I've had this experience for years on and off, not every day, but I have had it when I've been aware of a universal audience. And there was a huge galactic audience tuning into us, and it didn't really add to the self-consciousness because I knew what it was.
That was my personal limits. I was actually testing out the my new nervous system was kind of like giving me a little nitrous for the first time, see what I can do. But it was a brand new experience for me. I mean, yes, I do cry sometimes, and I was really losing it. And, you know, I had to calm some people down and say, no, I don't need to be sent to the hospital. I'm good. But it was utterly fantastic. But at the same time, you know, that's just my personal limit to perceive that high level of intensity and love and, you know, and their minds at the same time. It's very, like, I don't want to say like a Borg, but it's kind of like that a little bit. They're all sharing that. And I practically missed everything that was said on the recording as we were reviewing it. I just couldn't focus. But no matter.
Well, you'll be going over it and over it, because I think your idea to create a wiki type information base is excellent, and many of us will be doing versions of disseminating this information to as many people as possible, because there will be a tremendous demand for it. And in addition to that, there will also be some major detractors. So we know that there will be people coming out because the system is completely taken over. There are etheric satellites with psychics that are, you know,
there's a gamut of opposition.
Yep. Right. And so there will be a lot of stuff going on, but the most interesting stuff, I think, to the listeners is going to be that there was so much disappointment about 2012 and so on. Is that now I know for sure that there is a stale date on the ascension process, and it has been upgraded, and the multiple timelines have been eliminated finally, and that the ascension process is on track, and that it is destined to occur sometime before the end of 2014, and that there will be such a thing as the event. Now, Chris, you talked a lot about this with Andrew, about the event and the ascension process.
Yes, indeed. It was an absolutely, I'd use this term a lot, an absolutely fascinating discussion. One of the reasons, and it alludes directly to what you just said, everyone was disappointed about, 2012, because the misinformation about that date and its relevance and the whole ascension process is not going in the direction we think it is.
Right.
The idea of actually, the world community virtually kind of subdividing itself into local realities, largely based on soul groupings in the end, is not the paradigm that I thought we were headed into. That was new information to me, and I think it was extremely important. And if you look at, Shasta was a huge soul family reunion. Mm-hmm. And I suspect everyone who went to Shasta would, if they'd had the opportunity, would gladly have simply stayed there.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's a big flag saying, this is what's coming, folks. And it actually makes a lot more sense to me, particularly when, we get comments from people like Thomas Hughes, who are in touch with in Thomas's case, the Sasquatch people, who are interdimensional, and he has some contacts with the ETs. And they've been telling him for a long time things like, the difference between your dreams and reality? What if you couldn't tell the difference? And that's not the paradigm that I thought we were heading into, based on all of the what I now discover is misinformation that's been completely obliterating us for years now. So,
right.
And I'm actually quite I suppose the term is relieved in some senses, because there's an awful lot of negative fear porn associated with that, and always a lot of the inference of a lot of chaos associated with it. And I think we're in for quite a different kind of ride, which is brilliant. And the other aspect to if you want to look for evidence of this is the manner in which people all around me, all around most of us, the people we just consider to be, in the matrix, their consciousness is bubbling very close to the surface now. You don't have to scratch very deeply at all to find a button which, if you press, they'll go, something's going on, I'm not happy, this doesn't seem to be right. And things like the galactic history that you guys recorded are going to push a lot of people over that line to really stop just drinking the Kool-Aid and start really looking at the information they're getting and working out what's really going on around them. So, really, really looking forward to it. Just the other thing, Julian, the multilingual aspect of the transcriptions is another really important thing. But it's not just English transcribers required, it's every language.
It's true. After we get to a certain threshold, I am going to be looking for English translators. In fact, we figure that the numbers are going to be so high, there's not going to be any way to cover the demand without getting some kind of investment capital to pay for it to happen. So we might do some fundraising down the road as people begin to gain confidence in the data and see where it's all headed in the big scale. So, but yes, if you do have... translation background or even are very familiar with two languages at the same time, English being one of them, you know, yeah, I'd love to get your contact information. I'm easily found on Skype and on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I thought I'd better throw that in because it will be important. But, you know, going back to our the conversation line that we were taking, I have had a whole lot of dot connections in talking to Andrew at every level, you know, at mm-hmm. at the geopolitical level, you know, obviously the historical level, mm-hmm. The interdimensional level. You know, the way that galactic societies actually seem to work is somewhat different to what I thought. That information has been brought through by Julian as well.
Yeah.
And I can see that the Earth itself has been going through a process of reawakening, that our relationship with the planet as things progress will be far closer than we ever thought. You know, it's always just been a rock that we've lived on to most people in the
right.
Matrix. But no, it's not. I mean, Andrew's even spoken of ultimately the down the track, the transaction system, you know, call it the financial system, if you like, but it's really a transaction system, being supervised by an AI that's actually either created by or part of, you know, the planet's consciousness.
Yeah. Well, you've heard of co-creation, right? And how people co-create with each other. Well, now it's time to start paying attention how everything is co-created by the Earth, but we never really gave it that kind of credence up to this point.
Exactly. Precisely.
But, well, you know, it's a back and forth.
Another thing that I wasn't aware of was that Earth was originally a seventh dimensional seed planet. And she has been through quite a trip. She's been moved. She's been, you know, for 2 million years, she was taken by a creator being from another galaxy or universe. And there were time wars that started around 51 million years ago that were partially due to the various alien groups that were, you know, saw the value here and were duking it out to take her over. And then the 15 beings who sat back and watched, and then they made their move, incarnated part of themselves into the human population and literally became 40% of the population so they could have access codes to the soul groups. And so it's just an enormously huge picture, and I know I've only gotten a thumbnail sketch in 20 shows, so...
The soul codes aspect?
That's why I'm looking forward to get both Chris and Lance in the same interview with me, and we'll do 2 or 3 hour interviews or break them up properly. And the two of you asking questions, you know, two Venusian philosophers, we'll be, you know, be able to go so deep into it to the layers even unexpected by the galactic level, because there's a lot of information that I put in there that were the galactics themselves didn't know about. Because they don't have the Earth-ication perspective.
Uh-huh. Well, I look forward to that, because I think Chris and you and I, between the three of us, will create a triangle of energy with Chris's views and his perspective and mine and yours. There probably is nothing that will be left uncovered.
Exactly.
Andrew said something very interesting there. You said two Venusian philosophers.
That's right. Lance
did.
Well, hello, Andrew. Hello, Lance.
Hello. I recognized you immediately, your energy, and I just kind of fell in love with your interviewing style. And then when he said you were a Venusian philosopher, I thought, well, of course, I probably was another Venusian philosopher too. So that would be one of my fragments or aspects that, you know, knows you.
Indeed. And
I have to give credit to George Kavassalis, that's in your country, Chris, who I became close with and ended up editing his book, for breaking the shell on some of this information that starts to expose the dirty laundry. And it really kind of created a crack in the disinformation stream. But Andrew's information is so far beyond anything that I have ever witnessed that it's like being in a gold mine and with diamonds dripping all over. I mean, it's like, what do you want? Would you like diamonds? You know, would you like gold, rubies?
Would you like fries?
I really
with
like
that.
That.
Yeah, would you like fries with that?
Well, you know what? I'm not that materialistic, so.
Yeah, look.
I'd really rather have the truth get out there and people be free and liberated. That would be that would make me the happiest.
Amen. I mean, that's why we're actually all here. That's what we're here to do,
to get
that information out there and get people on their feet, Lance. I mean, that's the other aspect of this, which, you know, the one of the key things that came out of the interviews, this is key things for me, that came out of the discussions I had with Andrew, was that the characteristics of the event, what is the event? Well, he gave me two characteristics. One was rapidly increasing shared dream time amongst large communities, and to the point where they realize it. And the other was people expressing and exerting their free will publicly in great numbers. And, I mean, that's always been a real trigger for me, because I've always known that in order to actually shake off the system as it stands, to actually really morph it and shift it into something that serves us, something that serves us and will serve us for the future, it really has to be us exerting our free will on the system and not some... not some group of resistance fighters from the outside, not a re-phoenixed version of the cabal, not a small group of white knights.
Right.
Now, they might trigger things like people being on the streets, people actually saying no to various forms of slavery that come out of the way the system's being run. But there has to be an upswelling in large numbers of people taking that step and saying no, I recognize what you are, I see you.
Yeah.
You can do this in an evolutionary way rather than a revolutionary way. There can be no violence in this. That's their game. That's
right.
What they want. And they're fully equipped to deal with this. And
oh,
hope
yeah.
that we
well, they
and
could,
hope that
they,
that happens.
They prepared for this timeline because they've seen it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we're still in fact, I'd like Andrew to comment on whether the time wars are actually over or not, whether they can no longer do that. But down the track, I can see that there's going to be many, many, many different forms of people taking a stance against the system.
And about the event as well and how it occurs in three waves.
Exactly. And it's going to be a process rather than just a single thing. That's become very clear. And that the process is going to be coming from inside of us and not externally. It's going to be experiences that we have inside. You know, shared dream time is not an external process. It only becomes external when we start discussing it amongst ourselves. It begins inside. So it's not something the mainstream media can in any way spin successfully. They can try, but people will have a knowing inside of a shift occurring. And, you know, maybe here's a thought. Maybe the mainstream media could blame it on the chemtrails.
Well, I would like to see that whole thing collapse.
Well, but, it probably will, because one of the other characteristics I see is not so much the system being reworked and fixed, because it's not actually fixable, in my view.
It's not fixable, no.
No, we just go and do something completely new, Lance. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yes, me too. I wonder if Andrew has any thing to share about the event, because not too many people have probably heard about that, and about our status in the ascension process at this moment.
Oh, sure. Right now, there's actually four waves to the event, not three.
Okay.
The third and fourth wave would be the most potent. As for where we are right now, time wars can exist, but it will be specific to days so that they can cause a faction or a cell to be released. It's not creating alternate timelines now. It's all about the graduation timeline. 38,000 years since we've had a graduating timeline, we're bloated full of people that need to go home. So the event is going to be, I mean, just as I've described in both shows, a Dreamtime-based event where people begin, you know, the kids around the breakfast table at high school or junior high share their dreams, and one goes, I had the exact same dream, and four or five people at the table, and one person at another table goes, oh, my God, I had the same dream. You'll have weeks of that where the young people will experience dream sharing, and then the adults will be experiencing deja vu on a big scale. Imagine two guys walking down the street and both looking at each other and having deja vu at the same moment, and both saying, oh, my God, deja vu, and the other guy is going, Mike, this is deja vu of you having deja vu.
Hmm.
And that's inevitable at some point before the end of 2014, right?
Well, you'll see that this year.
This year? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, it is all about the reconnection of all of us and telepathically and multidimensionally, and also about the raising of consciousness.
Right. And even this year, we still have 18 flights of high consciousness left.
Sorry, Andrew, what was the word you used? 18?
18 spikes of high consciousness.
Spikes.
Spikes. Excellent. In the consciousness wave where groups of people complete some type of soul code and they get a high consciousness moment, which actually changes the overall consciousness sine wave of Earth.
Mm.
Think of a big spike in a graph.
Yeah, those are those bumps that I was talking with you about, Chris.
Yes, I do get that. And are those spikes going to be geographically local or confined to specific soul groups?
It'll be local as well as soul groups. The closer soul groups are to power cities or places of power, the more potent their spike will be. And if the same soul groups in a sacred geometry city and is aware of it, they'll be able to turn the energy backwards against the sacred geometry city and to amplify the spike also.
That's one thing I've been wondering about, Andrew. The fact that we're in sacred geometry cities, which were intended as control mechanisms for us, will actually work against the control system by amplifying the consciousness wave.
Correct. And there's 18 waves left just this year.
Excellent.
Wow.
So in fact, their mind control techniques, which has been to put everybody into cities where they share dream time, whether they know it or not, so the mind control can be concentrated, turned against them, will actually free us more quickly from that control mechanism.
That's right.
Great plot twist. It's a great plot twist.
You know, Andrew, one of the things that I found really humorous is when you talk about these events are, and the shifts in consciousness will create a situation that is similar to the Three Stooges or a dress blowing up. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Oh, yeah. It'll be Three Stooges. It'll be a game of whack-a-mole. Somebody will come out, the domination control system will whack them down, and then there'll be so many that they won't have enough hands to do it, and it'll be so completely out of control. It'll be, you know, government officials having temper tantrums and as I said, an episode of Three Stooges or a lady walking by and the wind blowing up the dress, and everyone's going to want to see the rest of it.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Marilyn sure proved that right.
That's right.
Yeah, we've had an episode of the Two Stooges here in this country this past week where our prime ministers... The role of prime minister has just been shifted from one person to the person that it was stolen from by that one person. So it's to be honest, a very obvious manipulation in order to try and shore up an election that they think is coming up. And I'm kind of sitting here thinking, gee, I wonder if they'll even have an election this year. Hmm. Because I've got some news just before we came on the show that there's some geopolitical stuff brewing, which I think will coincide with an energetic shift that Julian was telling me about just before we came on. So I suspect the wild ride is kind of just about ready to leap out of the stocker, out of the stocks.
It's getting going. Yep. Mm. Started in the middle of last week, particularly for me, and I think quite a few other people, but no. Going to have an interesting July 4th, I think.
Oh, yes.
Independence Day.
Observation. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Mm. Andrew, do you see anything looming energetically from your perspective?
Well, for the 4th of July?
Well, that period.
My personal understanding of between now and the 4th of July is where the lower end sub parts of the system of domination and control are essentially wanting more money, more power, more recognition, and there is no money, power, or recognition to go to any of those people. So those people are going to stop doing their jobs and essentially demand more payment for the job that they do. So there'll be a shedding of a number of the thug control systems.
Mm, more good news.
Well, yes, it seems like that would trigger a wave of whistleblowers as well, and
exactly.
Have a domino effect, kind of like V for Vendetta.
Exactly. There'll be a whole series of new whistleblowers, and it's a matter of how the media handles and spins the event. The media is always going to be the target at this time. So when the media, the people inside the media start saying what's really happening on CNN, NBC News, ABC News, how they're purposely altering the truth. there have been over two dozen different reporters who've come out in the last 3 years that have laid this on the story, but there'll be bigger reporters who come out and say, I cannot tell a lie anymore. I cannot be a part of this media system that is bought and paid for.
Mm. That's what we need. I mean, that to me, the biggest block is the media.
Absolutely.
It's always going to be the block. The media is the propaganda system that keeps this disunity reality in function. And the sacred geometry cities that are set up here in the United States are set up to be sacred geometry media cities that control the master amounts of energy for the Earth grid work.
And then, of course, all the sacred symbols have been reversed and used for the opposite effect.
Yep. That's right.
And then the major players, or the managers, the royals and the Rothschilds and the rest of them, they're basically contract holders for the 15 beings that are actually running the show from outside the circus.
They're inside the circus.
They're inside the circus.
They're inside. They've always been inside since before the second teleportation of Earth. That's when they came here and started playing the game at the lowest levels until they had all of their proper teachers and decided to become the masters of the realm and played everybody against everybody.
Mm. So those 15 beings, they are the real creators of the divisions that we suffer.
They're the amplifiers and creators, correct. They played both the light and the dark forces because both of them were unaware of what they were actually doing.
And now people are going to be curious about whether or not there really is an Earth quarantine and who runs it, and are there spaceships out there on the positive side that are helping as much as they can?
There's 5,283 different races unified in the enforcement of the quarantine, and there's over 75 million entities that are in our system right now making sure that the quarantine system is perfectly tight on all levels and all dimensions, so nothing can sneak in or out, even in a side dimension.
Andrew, when was that quarantine tightened up? Because from Cindy Brewer's evidence,
about 2006, it was tightened to the point where not even a drop of water can get out.
Other than renegade thieves who are stealing DNA off planet.
So there's been no DNA exported since 2006?
No, there have been smuggle attempts to get smuggling off, and some of the smuggling was pretty successful, but it caused heavy damage into the Earth's ethereal realms when they would smuggle in that type of very dirty multidimensional travel. It's a special, I've talked about it in the Walking in Energy show, it's kind of tough to understand, but when you smuggle DNA off, you have to coat the entity in gold, and that protects them from the raw dimensional drive energies that have no protections on them. And that no protections makes it very difficult to understand when a dimensional doorway is going to come into a spot in Earth that already has a dormant stargate.
Okay, so they're kind of superimposing a transport system on a dormant stargate. So they're playing some pretty violent games energetically to do that, I imagine.
Correct.
Interesting. Very interesting. It also explains where the gold's all gone.
That's right. It all went to cover all the people that they were taking off the planet.
Were most of the exports people, or was it a mixture of people and organs and other kinds of parts, body parts?
The vast majority was people. I'd say about 85% is people. And they harvest organs out of clones, so they do a cloning business also, an organ business too. But there are specific organs that were needed that for other entities off-world, and they needed to have the person arrive to the planet and then be climatized to the planet's vibration, and then the organ removed and put into the sick entity, and then they'd clone another liver or whatever and put it back to the human. And then just keep reusing that person as a liver incubator.
Go
Lance. No, you go, Lance. Yep.
Well, there's also a lot of abuse here on the planet with the use of super soldiers and taking a person's being, their soul, out of body, and then placing it in another container. And you know, we heard a lot about. I think it was Bill Brockmeyer, that super soldier, that could, yeah, that's it. That came out on the Project Camelot, and that he could no longer, in good conscience, do what he was doing by his what he was told by his superiors, and it's been a horrific miscarriage of justice, which is all there is out there, really. We don't know, because the people who are trying to follow their conscience, they get plowed under, and if they're supposed to be here, they can't be eliminated, but they can be jailed and drugged and all kinds of things.
That's right. They have no
one of the
anymore.
Things that I wanted to bring up while we're on the air is, because we need to make this practical, is that we think that we're free and sovereign beings and we have free will, and the New Age talks about it like it's, you know, like using a tissue paper. Oh, yeah, we have free will. You create it all, blah, blah, blah. Let's just create it. Well, we don't entirely because of all the control systems and the contracts. So I'm highly recommending your list of contract removal documents, which are designed to free us from the various control paradigms that exist here that we can eliminate ourselves. And that is on your site, which is www.andrewbartzis.com, under spiritual contract removal. And they're very helpful. And so if people want to know what they can do, they should go to your site.
Yeah. Also, Chris and I are going to be developing a system that uses will, trust, and manner rule and court and regular courts of equity to separate yourself from the system that's going to incorporate those contract removals of the system. And it's really going to be an interesting consciousness evolution and experiment as people begin to realize how the system is in control and the step-by-step way to remove the system's energy hooks into you. Chris, do you have any comments on that? I know we've talked a lot off-air about that.
Yeah, look, it's a tool I'd really like to put out there, and it's a ground up tool, and there are other processes that are going on, you know, many people attempting remedies from all directions on the system. You know, the One People's Public Trust have been pushing a top down remedy, which is, you know, had a certain degree of energetic impact on the system and, you know, certainly made its presence felt. This would be a ground-up movement. I'm hoping that between all... And there's more than these going on. There are other processes by other groups being actually carried out to either attempt to separate the people from the system or attempt to get control of one's life inside the system to whatever degree you can. In the case of the People's Trust, the intent was to lop the head off the system of the snake. Everyone is pushing energetically against the Berlin Wall of our time. And I'm hoping this will form a pincer movement from top down and bottom up, and we'll all meet in the middle. And then we'll have a really, really big party in Dreamtime.
But the
bottom up is particularly significant, Lance. I just wanted to touch on this quickly because I know I've only got a few minutes to go. Because when you create a ground up remedy like that, it's done at community level. It's done by individuals who then start to spread the concept to more individuals and develop communities. And when you do that, you can actually arrange not just establish your individual independence. Call it sovereignty if you will, but you can actually contractually arrange with anyone else who's participating in this as to how you will interact. In other words, you got the opportunity to define a new system of governance, including financial arrangements. Okay, and so we can at that point, we don't have to replicate the hierarchy that we've got. We don't have to try and rebuild current constitutions. We create something that's completely without hierarchy, so that we can actually maintain our equity. Because what Andrew's suggesting puts us back into equity.
Each
other, and we want to maintain that. We actually have to, all our arrangements have to reflect that, and that's where the equity courts come into it, and just the arrangements between essentially different manors, because the manor is establishing your realm, call it a reality if you want to, and you can see how this concept meshes beautifully with the idea of local realities formed by soul groups, because within that, now, there's a manner. If you've got a soul family who want to actually all work together, live together, you can create your own little realm, and you can actually define it in, if you like, earth common law / equity law legal terms, and begin to really separate yourself from the system. Because you could actually be, it can and will exist alongside the current system. And in conjunction with all the other processes that we the people are using to push the system into being, into serving us, that is where I think that is where the event actually, where the rubber of the event meets the road, is what people are doing at ground level and how they're actually reorganizing themselves into something completely new.
It has to be done that way, Andrew. What's your take on that and the financial system and all this? Shuffling of the chairs on the Titanic, they're going to gold standard, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. We need to remove all of that. So what's your take on how that will be transformed?
Claiming our sovereignty means we have to claim it on all levels, that it's been taken away or we gave it away. Equity is the way to gain balance, not through justice. Justice is for just us. Okay, justice isn't for everyone. Equity is for everyone. And attacking from the top down and the bottom up, meeting in the middle, and having that time in the center where we all can agree that our system is broken, that it needs to be changed, that alone is change in itself. And there'll be more than enough help from the entities that are waking up, as well as the off-world entities, to create a transactional system that is simplistic to use, to understand, and that there's no scam artists, there's no ShamWow ads, there's no telemarketers calling you simply because people have a different purpose other than the slave system of jobs.
Right. Well, once again, an hour has flown by like a minute, and I want to thank you, Andrew Bartzis, Julian Wells, Chris Hales in Australia, and Larry Bazell, who didn't get a chance to talk. And would each of you please quickly share your websites and any other information on your radio shows that you would like to share before the show closes.
All right, I'm on andrewbartzis.com, on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and I'm also on wolfspiritradio.com, and my show is 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Tuesday night, 9 to 11 Pacific.
Wonderful. Julian, briefly?
Briefly, I'll just guide you to my show, which is on Blog Talk Radio called The Transitioning, which is basically reflecting people like me waking up real fast and discovering a lot in a short span of time.
Wonderful. Chris, you, and for your contact in, your information?
I don't actually have a website, and I don't use Facebook, Lance, but...
What's your radio show?
The two radio shows, well, there's three radio shows. There's Walking in Energy. There's Walking in Energy with Peter Shelton and Michael Monk. The Collective Imagination with Lisa Harrison and Bob Wright and others.
Oh, I love Lisa.
And the One People radio show, again with Lisa and Bob Wright and a slightly different crew. And that crew is very closely associated with the One People's Public Trust process, which we've been pushing, and you know, with some degree of effect. But that's okay. That's where you'll find me.
And we didn't get to hear from Larry Bazell, but I want to thank him for making it possible for me to meet Andrew and to go to Mount Shasta. And he is with Creating 5D Org and produces some of the other radio shows that I host. Thanks, everybody, and I'd like to have you all on the show individually, so we'll all be in touch. We're not going anywhere, unfortunately, and we'll have you all back.
All right, cheers.
All right, thanks.